Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you just be here with us today, God. Lord, we want to hear a word from you. God, I remove myself and I ask that you speak to your people. Do what only you can do. Just a vessel. Speak to them. Encourage them. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can have your seat right now. You can have your seat. Listen here, church. First service, we had a great time. Oh my God. And I'm like, Lord, you got to do that again, Jesus, because I can't do that without you. I can't do that without you. But there are some times when God gives you a word that you know is a prophetic word. And when it's a prophetic word, you walk in the boldness of him, because it is him trying to speak to you. Y'all don't understand. I had three different sermons and God kept changing it and changing it. And I asked, I said, now, wait a minute, God. Now you are not the author of confusion. But I was somewhere close to it. And when God hit me with this word, I was like, okay, this is it. This is it. And I started seeing people's faces, and it's really weird, but I'm so excited to give this word today. I want to read, it's Luke 1. 5 through 20, and I want to read this entire passage. It's really long, but I don't want to take for granted that everyone understands the story. I want to make sure that if this is your first time coming to church, you understand the total context of what's going on. And Luke 1, 5 through 20 says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, and of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Somebody say blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot or his turn was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, because some anointings come with greater sacrifices. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, watch this, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Today, I want to give you a word that God gave me, and I want to talk about faith fatigue. Somebody say faith fatigue. fatigue. Amen. Let's get into it. You know, there are many ways we can describe God. God is love. God is powerful. God is mighty. God is omnipresent. Matter of fact, he is a present help in the time of trouble. God is merciful. God is gracious. But I just want to zero in on one attribute of God today. And that attribute is God is patient. Yeah, God is, he's patient. Watch this. He is patient with me. And believe it or not, he is patient with you too. I want you to look at your neighbor right now, because I know they look real good on this Sunday morning. Oh, they got their beautiful clothes on. They ironed them real good. They took it to the dry cleaners. I mean, they got their good hair on today. They got the good wig. They showed up for real today, right? You know, but they ain't always look like that. They ain't always been like that. I know they done came up here and said, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And it looked like they got all the Holy Ghost, all of it. But God been patient with them too. Oh, how many witnesses do I have in here that say I was leaving the club and he was still patient? Oh my God, I was tossing them back and he was still patient. He was still patient. I know I was doing some things on Saturday night and coming back into the church. I was like, don't strike me down, God. Because God is patient with us. He's patient with us. But not only is he patient with me, but he is also patient when it comes to giving me what I want. And this is the part that we really have a hard time dealing with God, because he's patient with us, but he is also patient when it comes to giving us what we want. You know, Dottie Peoples, she had a song that said, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And then she said, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. And then she had the nerve to say it again. He's an on-time God. Dottie, Dottie, Dottie. Oh, Dottie. Dottie, when I was a child, I felt this way, and I'm 41 years old today, and I still feel the same way. He's not an on-time God. No, he ain't. See, y'all religious, y'all churchy, y'all real churchy. Yes, he is. He's our on-time God. No, he ain't. God be late. God be so late to the party. Why did it take this many years to get married, Jesus? He be late. You mean to tell me, God, you waited until my knees got bad to tell me I'm about to give birth? You be late, God. You be late. And I don't like it. You see, Mary and Martha, they knew that. They knew this to be true too. They made a call to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, old boy Lazarus is sick. Now, all he is right now is just sick. And they make the call to Jesus. That's a good thing. But Jesus stays there. And he waits. And instead of going where Mary and Martha needed him, he stays there because God be late. And then he stays there, and then all of a sudden the message comes to him and says, well, Lazarus has transitioned. Because you got to be church folks to understand, this is how we say he died. He transitioned. Lazarus has gone on to be with the Lord. And now Jesus says, now we'll go. Wait a minute. And then I got a bigger issue with this whole passage, because when Jesus get there, the Bible says two words that we've all learned in vacation Bible school as the shortest verse in the entire book of the Bible. And the Bible says that Jesus wept, my God. Well, not only were you late, but now you're crying. Jesus, I didn't need you to cry. I needed you to come. You the way maker. You the miracle worker. You're the promise keeper. And all of that is crying. I don't need my way maker to be crying right now. I need you to come. And they went a step further to prove my point. They said, had you been here, then my brother would not have died. Because the truth is, God be late. And this brings me to the tension of an underlining text that many of us have heard during the time of Christmas. And if you know me, the Christmas time and the fall time, that's my time of the year. Boy, I love this. But this is not a Christmas sermon today. Because Zacharias, he would testify too, that God be late. And there is this tension because Zacharias, he is a priest. And he's married to this woman named Elizabeth. And the Bible declares that they were blameless and barren. Let's pause here because a lot of times we think our good works should produce more fruit. This was not some ratchet priest. This wasn't one of those priests that was stealing and all that. No, no, no. He was a good man. He was following the ordinances of the Lord. He was a good man. He was a good priest. However, he was good and yet still empty. Blameless, yet barren. And there is one thing I want you to understand today. Mary was empty. Mary didn't have a baby. But her emptiness was a little bit different than Elizabeth's emptiness. You see, Mary wasn't pregnant because Mary wasn't active. We all together. Mary wasn't pregnant because she wasn't activating all of the potential that was in her life. She wasn't allowed to participate in the activities that would produce a baby. But Elizabeth, on the other hand, her and Zacharias was to the window, to the wall. I'm gonna stop right there. But there is tension when you're empty and you're doing the work. Versus when you see somebody else that's empty and they ain't doing nothing. We are not sharing the same pain right now. See, there are some people that's not applying themselves. They lay on the couch all day, play PS5. See, your level of brokenness ain't equal to the one that's working from sun up to sundown. See, when I end up being broke working 12-hour shifts, we don't share the same type of agitation in this situation. There's some of us that's been putting in work. There's some of us that's been giving our tithes and we've been believing and we've been praying. I ain't talking about them people. To the people that ain't been doing nothing, I'm sorry. Next week that might be for you, but today is for the people that's been putting in the work. Putting in the work and still not seeing the results that you know you're supposed to see after putting in the work. Blameless and barren. And this is where I believe that Zechariah started experiencing faith fatigue. Now, some of you right now are asking Pastor Polo, what is faith fatigue? I'm so happy you asked. Faith fatigue is when hope gets heavy. It's when your hope gets heavy. And it leads me to point number one. Zechariah, he stopped expecting what he once prayed for. Faith fatigue settled in when he stopped praying. He stopped expecting what he once prayed for. In verse 13, the Bible says that your prayer has been heard. For years, Zechariah prayed for a child, but he stopped believing it could happen. praying, but stop believing that it actually could happen, because faith fatigue sets in when your lips quit before your heart does. And I'm going to show you how this looks, because you'll stop. I'm not even praying for a husband no more. Lord, I'm just content with you. That's what your lips said. But if we ask your heart, your heart is still desiring what your lips no longer ask for. That's faith fatigue. I'm so tired of praying to you about this situation, so I will spiritualize and overly spiritualize this contentment that I have settled in. I don't need that. I just need you, Jesus. But your heart is still saying, nah, dog. We got the September series coming, and some of y'all last year literally said, I'm sick and tired of coming to the single service. Oh, I know I'm in this place. I told y'all it's a prophetic word. Each time it's going to change up. And so some of y'all said last year, this is my last year being in the single service. And then now September coming right around the corner. You see all these little posts going viral and you over there like, I guess I'll see y'all at 10:30 and 12:30. And you overly spiritualize. I don't need this anymore. I'm good. Now, I want to pause here because contentment is real. It is real. And there are some of us who do reach that place of contentment. So I want to pause there to make sure you get this. But there are some of us who try to overly spiritualize it. I'm talking to you. Deep down, you look at your king size bed with no king and you like, okay, I'm sorry. Let me get back. Well, second service, y'all off the chain, because God's speaking to me differently right here. See, faith fatigue sets in when your lips quit before your heart does. Remember this. Zechariah's name simply means remembered of the Lord. Another way to put it is the Lord remembers. It's a tough place to be when your name means that you are remembered of the Lord. But when you look at your life looks like he forgot you. It's one thing for your name to mean joy, and it's another thing when your life look like you are bound. It's one thing for your name to mean victory, but all you are catching in this season are L's, L's, L's. Loss after loss. It's one thing to know you are a child of God, but it's another thing to feel like you are a peasant. We're called to be more, but sometimes our life don't reflect what we are called to be. And so, could it be that Zacharias got tired of praying to a God who wouldn't respond? Year after year, I done prayed for this thing. Year after year, I believe God for that thing. Year after year, this gonna be my year. This gonna be my year. Next year, this gonna be my year. This gonna be my year. Next year, this gonna be my year. This gonna be my year. Next year, this gonna be a year. Are y'all seeing it? Because what happens when you pray to a God that seems like he's not responding? And this is leads me to one of my major points. Just because you stop praying doesn't mean God stop planning. Look at your neighbor and say, God is up to something. He's up to something. Oh, he's still up to something good. Just because you stop praying doesn't mean that our angel won't show up late in the midnight hour. He'll turn that thing around. He's going to work in your favor. But this leads me to point number two. Point number two was he was serving while struggling. Now, I'm coming for some of you church people. He was serving as the priest before God in verse 8. And Zechariah was in the temple doing ministry, but watch this, but had no expectation left. I'm coming for your head today. I'm coming for your heart. He got up. He was serving in True Kids. He got up. He was singing on the praise team. He got up and he was working with Elevate. Matter of fact, he got up and he came even into this place. But perhaps he didn't hear the message that Pastor Keith preached, that today is. Did you walk in here with that mentality? That today is the day? If you didn't wake up with that mentality, you could already be experiencing the symptoms of faith fatigue. Woo! I'm about to walk in your business, because when you have faith fatigue, you can be in position but out of faith. He was a priest. He was burning incense. And he was a good priest. But it's amazing that he was a priest, but somewhere he was out of faith. You can be a good man, a good woman, a good wife, a good husband, but you lost faith. Matter of fact, you stopped praying that your husband would change. Oh my God. You stopped praying that your marriage could be the example to other people. Now you just happy they come home at night. Faith fatigue. Faith fatigue. Faith fatigue. And this is what happens when you are in the position, but you are out of faith. Because being busy for God doesn't mean you're still believing God. And some of us are just busy. Busy, busy, busy. Serving, serving, serving. Going here, going there. Prophetic conference. Doing this, doing this. But just because you are busy doesn't mean you're still believing. Woo! I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Because the truth is, sometimes it hurts to believe again. Now let's dig a little bit deeper. Sometimes it hurts to start applying faith again. Because once you are met with disappointment after disappointment, after disappointment, how many posts you gonna make that God about to come through? And we all looking. So when you said he about to come through, what calendar were you looking at? See, sometimes it hurts to say, God, I'm believing for this, when people have sat around and watched you pray that prayer for 5 years. Come on. Who am I talking to in here? I need the real church in here to really talk back to your boy. Sometimes it hurts to believe again, which leads me to point number 3, because weariness made him doubt the word. Look at what he says in verse 18. How shall I know this? Stop. There is a celestial being in front of him. There is an angel in front of him from God. And this man says, how shall I know? Because the biggest confirmation was in front of him. And here's something that you don't know. You may not know. But he was standing on the right side of the altar. And by standing on the right side, that signifies power, authority. Where is Jesus seated? He is seated at the right hand of God. The right hand of the altar. That means God had really sent him with the word. He's a priest. He should have known that. Matter of fact, he should have known about Abraham and Sarah. This isn't the first time God is promising a baby to someone who was barren. What about Hannah, priest? What about the mother of Manoah, priest? How do you think Samuel got here, priest? How do you think Samson got here, priest? How do you think Isaac got here, priest? You should know better. So here is this celestial being giving him a word from God. And watch this, watch this. Because even when Gabriel stood in front of him, Zechariah couldn't receive the promise. Faith fatigue will make you question what God confirms. God done gave you all the confirmations that you need. And you still over here questioning, God, is this you? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got the green light, but you acting like it's red. What's wrong with you? Well, oh, where my church at? Where my people at? Somebody done abducted my people. My people know when to give God a praise. I said, you got the green light. And you're acting like it's red. If you want the house, you got the green light. You want the promotion, you got the green light. You want the next level, you got the green light. But you're still acting like it's red. What happens when the people don't understand it's time to go and you over there just parked at the red light? It's time to pray and you over here talking about what's wrong. You got the green light. Action it shall be given. Seeking ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. But you got the green light and you just sitting still. I need a confirmation, God. You just got it. Woo! You got the green light. But when you are experiencing faith fatigue, you start to question what God already confirmed. Because when your faith is tired, even God's yes sounds impossible. Listen, if I came in here for 10 people, I'm okay. If I came in here for somebody who stopped believing, I'm okay. God's yes still sounds impossible to someone who has faith fatigue. God, the one who created the universe. God, the one who reached down into dirt and made man. God, who breathed into him and he became a living soul, a living nephesh. God, he became aware of himself. God, the same one who preserved mankind. God, the same one who spoke to the light, the darkness and said, let there be light. That God is speaking to you and you can't even believe what that God has already said. That's what happens when he speaks a word in your life and you don't do nothing with it. Either God is God or God is not God. But God cannot tell me something and not change something. Woo, I feel it in here. But when your faith is tired, even God's yes sounds impossible. Which leads me to point number 4. That God silenced him to strengthen him. And this is the problem that I have with so many people preaching this text. We make it sound like God was punishing Zechariah. This was not punishment. This was preservation. Because God knew that what Zechariah was saying could influence Elizabeth. And if he would go back home and start speaking doubt, then that would cause Elizabeth to have a miscarriage. Can I just speak to some people in here right now? God is not punishing you. He's silencing you to protect you. It's all about protection. You can't speak into my life in this season. If you are not speaking faith, if you don't sound like you are full of faith, you can't call me talking about my marriage, talking about my family. Don't give me no more words. If it's not the word of faith, I don't want. Look at your neighbor and say, don't talk to me unless it's faith. And I want to stop right here because some of you have gotten mad with people. You've gotten mad with them because they're not saying nothing about the things that God is doing in your life. And you're like, I supported you. I cheered you on. I was your biggest supporter. I always poured back into you. But now that I'm pregnant with purpose, you silent. You ain't saying nothing. Let me tell you something. Elizabeth was growing outwardly, but Zechariah was shut up, but he was growing inwardly. Some people aren't saying congratulations because they can't talk. They've been silenced by God. They've been silenced by the Waymaker because he don't want them telling you something that will cause you to abort the baby that God is about to bring out of your life. I thank you for being quiet. Keep watching. Keep watching. Keep watching. Don't like my story. Keep watching. Don't like my post. Keep watching. Because what God is about to do, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, it hasn't even entered the hearts of man, the things that God has in store. Look at your neighbor and say, keep watching. I don't need your like. I'm already loved. I don't need your support. I'm already funded by the King. All angels in heaven are saying, preach, 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 go, go, go. I don't need your support. God got my back. And if God be for us, who? Woo! Who can be against us? So I wanted to free you from that pain that you felt. Lord, I'm always the strong person. That's all right. You the pregnant person. Woo! Sometimes that strength is coming by what's inside of you. I need you to understand something. Elizabeth was not just carrying any baby. Stephanie, she was carrying a prophet. In essence, she was carrying purpose. This was not just a baby. No, this was the baby that was going to go before us and go before Jesus and pave the way. This is John, we're talking about. So sometimes when you're pregnant with purpose, you don't get the applause. And if you still looking for applause, you about to miss out on your baby. God is not sending you no man, no woman, so you can just post them with your picture. No, he's coming to change your generational bloodline. He's coming to change all the curses that's been on that bloodline. He's about to rewrite your story. He's about to turn something into... I wish I had somebody here that know greater is coming. Greater is coming. I don't need your applause. I'm supported by the King. Woo! Stay quiet. Keep watching. I'm in my third trimester. Keep watching. Because what God is about to do, I'm going to give birth to that thing. Look at your neighbor and say, give birth, give birth, give birth, give birth. Matter of fact, look at somebody else and say, push, push, push. Push. I don't care if they don't cheer. Push. I don't care if they stay quiet. Push. Push that thing out. Push that thing out. Push that thing out. Somebody needs your testimony. Push. Somebody needs your story. Push. Somebody needs to know he can still do it. Push. When Harvest was born, I was looking at my wife and I saw a beast come out of her. And I mean that in the greatest way possible. Because you women, we meet you and you look so innocent, so cute, so beautiful. You got your hair done. You got your makeup on, and we just see all these beautiful signs of love. But when you are in birthing position, she didn't need makeup. She was beautiful in the press. She was beautiful in the push. When you know you about to give birth, you don't care what your hair looks like. When you know you're in the place of giving birth, you don't care who's not in the room. She knew the father of the baby was in the room. And what I come to tell somebody in here right now is that the father is in the room with you. All you gotta do is push. All you gotta do is push. Don't get weary in well doing. You shall reap. You shall reap if you don't faint. Push, push, push. Somewhere while she was giving birth, the doctor said, don't get tired on me. First lady, doctor said, don't get tired, Kayla. She's almost here. And if only you had prophetic ears to hear what I just said. If only you had prophetic ears to hear what I just said. I said, don't get tired. She's almost here. I said, don't get tired. Your breakthrough is almost here. Don't get weary. Push, 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 push until something happens. Push. I feel God. This is the second time I can't finish this message. But I need for you right now, in this place, to get that thing in your mind. The enemy tried to make you forget about what God promised you. Oh, but the devil is a liar. Today, the enemy made one mistake. One big mistake. He allowed you to get dressed. Walk up into 8201 Webfell Road. Cross over into the house of the Lord. Where this 6-7 worship pastor just happened to have a word from God. He made a mistake. He should have never let you get here. But since you're here, I come to tell you right now, you about to birth something in the atmosphere that the enemy is afraid of. So let the tears fall. Let the tears fall. As they fall, let your faith rise. As the tears fall, let your faith rise. Cause God is about to do it. And he's about to do it suddenly. Somebody put a praise on it right now. And I'm about to close. But you gotta get this one right here. Because sometimes God mutes you. He mutes your mouth so he can mature your faith. Sometimes he mutes your mouth so he can mature your faith. And maybe this is the season where God is awakening your hope again. Because when you have faith fatigue, hope gets heavy. But I heard a prophetic verse. But they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. I come to let you know you've been weary and you've been smiling, but God saw you. Woo! You've been coming in here still giving the praise. You've been coming in here still been a strong man for your household, but you've been crying on the inside. And just because you didn't let the tears fall on the outside, men of God, God saw your inward tears. Women, you've been a strong woman. You've been a strong single mother. You've been a strong wife. You've been raising kids. You've been fighting demons and devils, but God allowed you to walk up in here because he says, they that wait on the Lord,
He's going to renew their strength. This is the season for renewal. Your strength is being renewed right now. And I tell you to stand up and worship Him. I tell you to stand up and worship Him. Your strength is being renewed right now. Right now.
On the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up upon wings like an eagle and soar.
They shall walk.
They shall walk, not get weary.
They shall run.
They shall run.
Give up. Don't give up. Come on. They that wait on the Lord. Say.
They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength.
They shall mount
up. They shall mount up upon wings.
Like
an eagle. And so
they shall walk.
They shall walk. Not get weary.
They shall run.
They shall run. And I pray that's what happens when you wait.
Somebody give them glory in this place. Somebody give glory. Strength is coming. 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 Strength is here. Strength is here. Strength is here. It's here. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. That's what happens. What happens when you
wait on the Lord.
Shall
renew their strength.
They shall mount.
They shall mount up on wings like an eagle and soar.
They shall.
They shall walk and not get weary. They shall run.
Everybody say,
that's what happens when you wait.
That's what happens when you wait.
That's what happens when you wait.
You thought you was waiting and nothing was going to happen. But God is about to birth something.
That's what happens.